The Grey Raven by Gav Thorpe. Read by Jonathan Keeble. There was a moment during translation when everything hung between the realms of the material and the immaterial, when Balsar Kothuri knew silence. At the threshold of existence, for an infinitesimally short instant, he was neither real nor imagined, alive nor dead, legionary nor psyker. The mesmerizing, taunting, crashing background noise of the warp did not intrude upon his mind. The constant nagging whisper of his companions' thoughts and the ever-present hiss of humanity's psychic static was gone. He remembered the first time he had left with the Raven Guard, the first time he had been upon a ship as it delved into the gap between realities. Every occasion since, on each of the countless jumps from star system to star system, he looked forward to that singular experience, hoping that perhaps this time the silence would remain. It was not to be. The cold clamour of his fellow space marines welled up around him. No matter how much he suppressed his potential, how high and thick he built his mental barriers, even the servitors at the consoles, more machines than men, gave off a dim glimmer of life, like slowly leaking reactors tripping a rad counter over and over. The very reason for their existence being that they had souls, which true machines did not. Such were the strange ways of the Mechanicum. The Geller field dropped as the warp breach closed behind them, taking with it the nerve-tingling sensation of psychic suppression. Like a fog lifting outside a sealed door, Balsar was aware of its dissipation, even though his thoughts extended no further than the limits of his own skull. He had always been more of a receiver than a broadcaster. It was that ability that had seen him inducted into the 19th Legion and sent out with the fleet. Layer by layer, he shut away the impeding inputs, like narrowing the frequency band on a voxcaster, until he had only a single channel. Last to go were the bleeding thoughts of his companions on the bridge of the Wrathful Vanguard, and strongest were the mixed emotions of its commander, Captain Norris. His emanating thoughts at returning to the throne world fluctuated between relief, trepidation, and anticipation. Not that one needed psychic powers to discern such truth. It was obvious from the Imperial Fist's pensive expression and relentless pacing, and the bright polish and full regalia of his warplate, that the occasion of his return to his legion was at the fore of his mind. More closed, but still discernible, were the thought patterns of Arcatus Vindic Centurio, warrior of the Legio Custodes, who had left with the Raven Guard after their fateful acquisition of the Primarch gene code during their last journey to Terra. His face was passive, his stance relaxed, but seeping through the iron gates of his mind came pulses of something like happiness at his homecoming. Not relief, but pleasure, at being returned to the place of his birth and his duty. Even as a semblance of quiet fell upon Balsar, the placid deepness of a pool from which one hears and sees only the faintest glimmers from the surface, a physical clamour rose to fill his senses. Sensor servitors jabbered warnings, and klaxons wailed as the auger banks came online after their deactivation for warp transit. Multiple targeting beams and intrusive hails assaulted the Wrathful Vanguard, threatening all kinds of trauma before even a word was uttered. "Warning signals off," snapped Noritz, his golden-yellow livery dappled by the glow from a dozen red and amber lamps. The clamour seemed to settle more than agitate him, and he spoke calmly to his officers. "Gun crews remain on standby. Targeting systems on passive." A chorus of affirmatives replied. "Vox channels open for contact," reported the legionary sergeant at the communications console. "Which hail do you wish to receive?"
"How many are there?" asked Balsar.
The sergeant checked his display.
18.
He read a little more.
2 outer defence stations, 3 full-line warships, and the rest are escort-class monitors and patrol boats.
"Give me whichever has highest rank priority," Noritz told his deck officer. "Return the others with our standard identifiers."
Balsar realized that Noritz was in his element. This was his whole world. After years fighting the war alongside the Raven Guard, he was now returning to the Imperial Fists on far more familiar ground. The former librarian had another revelation.
You were hoping for this, weren't you?
Noritz glanced at him with a guilty smile.
Well, I admit, I was far more worried about arriving and not being challenged.
He nodded to the waiting sergeant.
Full contact. Prepare for visual feed.
The connection crackled into life with one of the defence stations. On a subscreen, wavering lines illustrated the several banks of weapons batteries currently locked onto their position from the fortress. Armoured figures moved in the background, mostly legionaries and several gold-armoured custodians. To Balsar's surprise, the figure that appeared on the main display was not dressed in the war plate of the 7th Legion, but the starched uniform of an Imperial Army officer. By the frogging and epaulets, he was of some senior rank, not entirely the sort expected to find manning a comm station. Such a secondment spoke of recent upheaval. His broad face was scarred down one side, a lasburn fresh enough that healing unguent still gave it a glossy sheen and stained the stiff collar of his dress jacket. He spoke through one side of his mouth, the other paralysed by the wound.
"The Wrathful Vanguard? Your identifier is years out of date,"
said the officer. He turned his head to someone that could not be seen, nodded and looked back at the lens.
"Is Captain Noritz still in command?"
"I'm Captain Noritz of the Imperial Fists. Please provide your rank and name."
"Commandant Colonel Fletched of the Jovian Corpus."
Fletched looked tired, heavy bags under his eyes, his speech slurred, even when accounting for the injury.
"Hold station and await further instruction."
"I must rejoin the 7th Legion as soon as possible, Commandant Colonel. I have with me Arcartus of the Custodian Guard. He will vouch for all aboard this vessel."
"The Legio Custodis?"
Fletched roused a little more interest.
"I'll note that on the application. Stand to and await escort. If you attempt to power up your weapons, you will be destroyed. If you raise your void shields, you will be destroyed. If you attempt to establish communication other than through..."
His voice tailed off as he turned again, this time to face the figures across the communications hall. A gold-plated warrior approached, their exchange too quiet for the feed pickups to detect. Fletched moved aside and was replaced by the blank-masked figure of a custodian.
"Arcartus, make yourself known," he barked.
"I am Arcartus," said the warrior, moving to stand beside Noritz. "The entire ship's company has been assessed for loyalty. Few have fought harder in the Emperor's name than those aboard this ship."
"You will understand, honoured companion, that verbal assurance is no assurance at all. There have been significant developments since your departure. No ship is permitted into the inner system without authentication and verification in person. A boarding party is being assembled to conduct the search."
Noritz glanced at Balsar, sharing the moment of irony. Several years earlier, it had been the Imperial Fist enforcing the security of the solar system, and the Raven Guard under suspicion. To his credit, Noritz suffered the indignity of doubt without question. Arcartus's mood was not so easily tempered.
"You would delay my return to the Emperor's side? This is no blood game."
"I am Ludificus, personally appointed to this role by the First Lord of Terror. You will defer to the judgment of this station as if it were the judgment of Malkador himself."
"Does the Sigilite now sit upon the throne?"
Arcartus demanded.
"We answer only to the Emperor."
"And the Emperor has named Malkador his regent in all things. The Sigilite's word is the Emperor's will, Arcartus. You know this."
"What of my Lord Dawn?"
Noritz asked, his haste betraying a sudden anxiety.
"Our scanners detect the debris of much fighting in the system. How fares the Praetorian of Terror?"
"He lives,"
was the only reply the Ludovicus would give. Balsar made his presence known.
"You speak of judgment and claim to speak in the name of Malkador, but I am afraid I must set my case before the Sigilite in person. Corvus Corax of the 19th Legion dispatched me to the throne world to stand before the Sigillite and seek his adjudication on matters pertaining to the Edict of Nicaea and the Librarius.
And who are you to demand the personal attention of the Sigillite in these critical times?
Balsar Kathuri of the Raven Guard, formerly of the Librarius, under personal oath to Lord Corax. The custodian's mask made it impossible to detect any change in his expression, but his demeanour shifted. He stood a little straighter, his shoulders tensing. Even if Balsar allowed his other sense free flow, the distance to the defence station was too great for a scan, but Ludovicus's curt manner confirmed his sudden antipathy.
Arcartes, threat protocols are in full effect. I expect you and your followers to do your duty immediately.
Balsar looked to the Imperial Fist's captain for any explanation, but Noritz's confused look spoke volumes.
Is this a test of my loyalty?
Arcartes replied.
You expect a custodian to accept the issue of such a command from another of the lowest rank. Is that it? Confirm your authorization, Ludovicus. It is not a test, Arcartes. Do your duty. The authorization is Othris.
A subconscious swell of intent from the custodian warned Balsar a second before Arcartes swung his guardian's spear. It was just enough for him to duck beneath the crackling blade. He leapt back as Arcartes swung again, his thoughts flooded with single-minded determination.
Noritz threw himself at the custodian, wrapping his arm around Arcartes' neck. Hold! What madness is this?
Receiving nothing more than a backhanded blow in response, he bellowed to his crew for assistance.
And you! Get out of here!
The Imperial Fist yelled at Balsar.
Go!
Not understanding what had happened, but certain that his continued survival depended upon his immediate absence, Balsar turned and ran. He heard the curses of Arcartes and the crash of ceramite colliding, while the bridge doors growled open before him, and a flurry of bolters being cocked as he pounded out into the corridor. Balsar felt the closest sensation to panic that it was possible for a space marine to experience, a mystifying blend of confusion and urgency that propelled him without thought along the corridors of the wrathful vanguard. His instinct took him aft and down, towards the area of the ship that had been set aside as a temporary sanctum for him. If he could reach the safety of that hall, with the ward sigils and psychic locks that he had created himself, he could at least take a moment to assess the situation. Thus went his reasoned justification. But he also knew that he was simply allowing instinct to drive his decision-making. His conditioning, training, and experience had prepared him for nearly any eventuality on the battlefield. The only time he had felt like this before had been on Istvan, at the drop site, the moment that the Iron Warrior's cannons had opened fire. Helpless, bemused, almost infantile in his inability to comprehend the magnitude of what was happening. Balsar had not the slightest clue what new threat protocols had been activated, nor why Arcartes had attacked him. What was special about Othris? He tried to tell himself that it was a misunderstanding, but the singular instantaneous purpose with which the custodian had turned against him proved otherwise. The boarding alarm sounded across the ship, three short groans of the klaxon followed by three longer tones, repeating endlessly. Serf crew and legionaries would be roused from their stations. They had already been at alert, as was right for any ship dropping in system. Yellow armoured warriors pounded down the corridors to their squad muster points, almost oblivious to the sable-plated Raven Guard in their midst. A flash of gold warned him of the arrival of a custodian at a junction ahead. Not Arcartes, but one of his subordinates. The guardian paused, and, fortunately for Balsar, looked down the corridor the other way first, giving him a split second to throw himself out of sight down a side passage. He longed to break open the barriers holding his powers in check. If he could scour the passageways and corridors for the minds of his hunters, he could plot a course to his sanctum. The temptation was great, but he held back, mindful of the promise he had made to Lord Corax. With his gene sire's permission, he had used his talents in spite of the edict laid down by the Emperor at Nicaea. A simple trick to trigger the psychic lock of the labyrinth that had held the Primarch gene codes on Earth.
They had shared a wry understanding at the time, denying his part in the act by attributing it to the will of the Emperor. But had the subterfuge sat poorly with Korax since then? Had that act fed into some inherent distrust of Psykers and the warp, leading to his later change of heart? These thoughts were out of place, unneeded at this desperate time, but Balsar couldn't entirely banish them as he spied another custodian ahead. This warrior saw him, and opened fire with the bolter of his guardian spear, shells snapping down the corridor. The Space Marine replied in kind, lifting his pistol. When had he drawn it? To fire off a burst without conscious thought. Dodging the custodian's return fire, he careened off a bulkhead and pushed on down another corridor, heading towards the starboard gun batteries. Twice now the custodians had been ahead of him. Clearly Arcartus was guiding them, guessing at his destination. He needed a better plan. Checking that he was unobserved, Balsar pulled open the hatch to the empty magazine and stepped inside. A few empty shell crates and feed belts littered the floor. Noritz would be disappointed that they had not been tidied away properly when the stores had run out and the chamber fell into disuse. Given a moment to think, the Raven Guard considered his situation. Along with Arcartus, there were 6 more custodians on board. 7 warriors could not possibly scour the entire ship. But that was not the problem. Even if the custodians could not track him down, there would be others on their way. The boarding party that Ludovicus had mentioned could number in the dozens, even the hundreds. What chance did he have then of hiding? And to what purpose? They would not give up the search if Balsar was such an important target. The unease at his mention of Nykeia meant that it had to be connected to his psychic powers, though whether the threat protocols were to apprehend or execute, he was not sure. Balsar figured that it seemed likely the latter, and in any case was not prepared to risk the consequences of finding out. If he could not stay here, there had to be some other solution. He had to leave. He had to get off the wrathful vanguard, perhaps even make his own way to Terra somehow, to plead his case to Malkador himself. Surely the assertion of his Primarch had to count for something. The one boon in his favour was that the Imperial Fists had not tried to hinder or apprehend him. It seemed purely a protocol of the Legio Custodes for the time being. That could change, of course, if a higher authority was brought to bear. What if Noritz received orders from his Legion command? From Rogel Dorn himself? Balsar shook his head, dismissing these thoughts. The Primarch of the 7th had no knowledge of these events. The fate of a single librarian was of no concern to him. Nor to Malkador, he suspected. This had to be a blanket authority, a standby invoked in extremis. If Noritz wasn't against Balsar, then the Raven Guard needed him firmly on his side. If he was going to get off the ship, then he would need help. Having secured Balsar's quarters, it would occur to Arcartus to lock down all of the ship's flight assets. With only 7 pairs of hands, that would be difficult, but not impossible. There were 4 launch bays and 2 banks of saviour pods. That would give Arcartus 1 warrior for the Sanctum and 1 for each route off the ship. When the Raven Guard survivors of Istvan had come to Terra in the wake of the drop site massacre, they had been interred pending the Primarch's audience with the Emperor. During their incarceration at the hands of the Legio Custodes, it had been a matter of some debate and contention whether an individual Space Marine was a match for a custodian. The consensus arrived at by the legionaries of the 19th was that it would be a close-run fight, but ultimately they had to concede, reluctantly, that a custodian was superior in personal combat. Again, Balsar's thoughts returned to the next step. He needed assistance, and only Noritz could provide the sort that he required. What he would do once he was free of the wrathful vanguard was another matter. There was a communications panel in the wall of the magazine. Balsar keyed it to the command channel of the bridge.
"I need to speak to Captain Noritz immediately."
"Kuthuri?"
"This channel is not secure. I have your position. Await contact."
The connection was cut, and Balsar took his thumb from the activation stud, at a loss. Had he just given himself away? He moved to the back of the chamber, pistol aimed at the hatchway, and waited. Minutes later, movement outside brought his finger to the trigger. Only when Noritz stepped into view did he lower the weapon.
"External address only," the captain said, waving for Balsar to join him.
A squad of Imperial fists stood in the corridor of the gun deck outside, bolters at the ready. Several of them showed battle damage to their armour.
"Arcatus has our cipher codes. Vox traffic is being monitored."
"What's happening? What does Arcatus want?"
"He and his custodians opened fire on my men. I believe he means to kill you."
"What? They were shooting to kill you as well?"
"Warning shots, really. We've exchanged a few volleys to discourage the custodians from getting in our way, and it seems to be working, so far. But this could escalate quickly."
"I have to get off the ship, then."
"And that was my thinking also. Not being able to rely on the Vox has hampered my efforts, but we have a secure route through to the port aft bay. We did, when I last checked, at least. But there is an incoming Stormbird from the defence station. I don't know who is on board. More custodians, I would think. We've managed to avoid casualties so far, and I won't resort to lethal action against the appointed hands of the Emperor. Not on this ship. Not in the light of Sol. This has to be some misunderstanding. Once you are clear, I'll signal 7th Legion Command to intervene on your behalf."
"Hakata seemed entirely certain what was expected of him," said Balsar. "This was prearranged. You heard what I heard." Noritz said nothing more. At a nod from their captain, the squad formed up and started moving aft. When they reached the corridor that led across to the main dorsal transit, they met up with a handful more Imperial fists moving forward. Their sergeant approached with a salute.
"What is it, Vindar?" asked Noritz.
"The custodians have opened the main weapons store and have taken almost all of the melter charges, my lord. They've already broken open Legionary Kuthuri's sanctum. I think they mean to disable all of the launch doors."
"Then we have to..."
Noritz stopped, as two figures in gold appeared on a walkway above. Without warning, they turned their guardian spears towards the group and opened fire, their bolts cracking into the armour of the Imperial fists as they turned. Noritz and the sergeant grabbed hold of Balsar by silent consent and hauled him away. The moment he was out of sight, the fusillade stopped.
"They're not shooting at us, then," Vindar muttered. "Only you."
"My apologies for the inconvenience," the Raven Guard replied. They broke into a run, the clatter of armoured boots behind them as the other legionaries followed.
"We'll head for the closest bay and break through however we can," announced Noritz. "No more delays."
"How did they get ahead of us?"
Sergeant Vindar's question was punctuated by the whine of bolts from the hallway junction ahead. Three custodians had taken up position around the entrance to the flight deck, using the stanchions of the muster point as cover.
"Do they have their own secure channel?"
"They defend the Emperor's domains from all threats," replied Balsar.
"Don't you think they might have studied the layout of this ship down to the smallest detail before they ever set foot on it?"
Noritz tried to push him aside, but he resisted, thrusting away the captain's hands. He snapped off a shot with his pistol towards the custodians and drew his chainsword.
"I am a space marine, Captain, not a bystander."
The two sides fought to a stalemate in the next few seconds, with neither the custodians willing to give ground nor the Imperial fists wishing to bring to bear the full force of their attack, for fear of maiming or killing the Emperor's guardians. When another of Arcatus's warriors joined the defence, Noritz signalled for his warriors to withdraw into the surrounding galleries.
"This is not going to work," Balsar said.
"Perhaps we should just throw you out of the void lock," suggested Vindar.
He sounded sincere.
"You'll be fine, librarian, I'm sure."
Balsar frowned thoughtfully.
"That's not such a..." "We are not throwing you out of a void lock," Noritz silenced him. "Vindar, slow advance. I want you to seem that you are trying to take the launch bay. We'll send more squads your way when we see them."
"You're leaving," said the sergeant.
"A lesson from our companions from Deliverance."
Noritz cocked a look at Balsar, the smile apparent in his voice.
"Be other than where the enemy believes you to be."
"The first axiom of stealth," he replied.
"Indeed, I think I've been cooped up with you Imperial fists for too long. You've dulled my Raven Guard wits."
Vindar moved to the corner of the junction.
We'll drag every custodian into the fight, Captain. Surround them.
No. Balsar shook his head. Give them a route to leave by. If you cut off all retreat, then they'll fight to the death. You'll leave them no choice. Leave a chink in your armour and let them exploit the mistake.
You ravens are certainly sneaky, said the sergeant.
He received a nod from Noritz, confirming the plan. With a shout, Vindar and a handful of his battle brothers rounded the corner, firing on the move. They were met immediately by return fire from the custodians. Balsar turned to Noritz. So, where do we head?
Where are they? Noritz hissed.
The pair crossed one of the upper galleries, taking a circuitous route to the launch bays on the opposite side of the vessel, as far from the Imperial Fist's attack as possible. Again, Balsar felt the temptation to extend his preternatural senses, to search the ship for his adversaries. As he and Noritz dashed along the corridor and pounded up a stairwell, they avoided the conveyors out of concern that the custodians had some means of monitoring their activation. The former librarian had an almost physical desire to unleash his power. He was like an adult human competing against a child, holding back their true strength in order to present an even contest. He gritted his teeth.
I swore to the Primarch that I would abide by the Edict of Nykaia, he said. Only Malkador can release me from that.
Shame. We could use a psychic auger. It would make this a lot easier.
And it would be nothing at all if you would simply order your men to gun down these custodians.
I take your point. We each must live by our code and honour, then.
A code that this war has stretched to breaking, Captain. Now, more than ever, we must hold dear the values that separate us from the traitors. Fraternity, loyalty, obedience.
Obedience? Noritz almost laughed. If that is true, why resist the will of the custodians?
When I have a little more time, I'll be sure to paraphrase one of Lord Korax's lectures for you on the difference between obedience and subservience.
They rounded onto a landing, and after a brief survey in both directions, headed into the corridor adjoining it. They had gone no more than 20 meters when a blast door wheezed down ahead of them, shutting off the route before them. Noritz cursed.
Arkartas turned my own ship against me.
He must have overridden the servitor protocols.
They turned and headed back to the stair, but a golden armoured figure stepped into view ahead of them, about 50 meters distant. It was Arkartas himself, resplendent in his hand-forged battleplate. His impassive mask regarded the pair for just a split second, before his spear spat bolt-shells down the corridor towards them. Noritz threw himself into Balsar, and the two of them tumbled out of the line of fire, clattering across the deck. In the quiet that followed, the clang of armoured boots on metal approached, swift but steady. Arkartas was not so rash as to run headlong after his prey. Doubtless he was already summoning his warriors to close the net once more.
Enough, whispered Balsar, shrugging off Norris's weight.
He rose to a crouch, pistol and chainsword at the ready.
No killing, insisted Noritz, holding out a warning hand. Our code, remember?
We'll overpower him, promised Balsar. We can thin their numbers and then I can get away. How long until the boarding party?
He never finished his question. Arkartas appeared, guardian spear raised for the attack.
His first burst of fire sparked from Noritz's armour as the captain hurled himself forwards, bolt pistol raised, his power sword still in its scabbard. He crashed a gauntleted fist across the faceplate of Arkartas's helm, and in return the custodian struck the haft of his spear into the captain's arm, jarring the pistol from his grip. Balsar joined his kinsman, his chainsword snarling into life as he swung for Arkartas's leg.
Only a wounding blow, he told himself, unlikely to be fatal for a custodian.
Arkartas stepped quickly, pulling his leg back even as he jabbed the butt of his guardian spear towards Balsar's throat. The Raven Guard dodged the attack at the expense of his balance, and in the heartbeat it took him to right himself, Arkartas had reversed his grip and swung his blade in retort. Noritz drove the blow aside, smashing his shoulder under the arm of the custodian. He tried to lift him, to turn the embrace into a throw, but Arkartas turned his weight to his advantage, flipping Noritz away. With a crack of armour, the Imperial Fist slammed into the wall and fell to the floor. Arkartas focused on Balsar, thrusting the Guardian's spear at his prey, feinting first to the left before slashing from the right. Balsar's hastily raised chainsword caught the gleaming blade, and for a moment sparks erupted like a fountain of fire.
The chainsword lost, cleaved into pieces of whirling metal and ceramite, its chain-linked teeth scattering across the deck in a shower of white-hot molten droplets. Balsar fired. Point-blank, he emptied his bolt pistol into Arcartus's face. At least he attempted to. The first two shots rang from the custodian's helm with blossoms of detonation, but Arcartus veered and swayed with incredible agility, one moment in front of the Raven Guard, the next alongside him, smashing an elbow into the side of his head. He stumbled, turned the fall into a roll, and dived aside as the cracking head of the Guardian spear seared into the deck grill where he had been a second before. Without time to catch his thoughts, he threw himself under the next blow and aimed a kick at the custodian's knee, cracking the shining oromite there. The custodian staggered back, slowed for the first time. In the space this allowed him, Balsar jumped to his feet and drew his combat knife. Behind the custodian, Noritz rose up and thundered a double-handed blow into the back of Arcartus's head. The custodian turned at the next punch, catching it on his vambrace, thrusting one-handed with his guardian spear. The point crashed through Noritz's plastron, splintering the armour and disrupting flesh as it drove through fused ribs and vital organs. The imperial fist twitched on the halberd, fingers spasming and head jerking as he fell away, dull blood already clotting from the wound. Seeing Noritz's body fall, the trail of ruptured viscera that seeped from his broken plate set Balsar into motion before he fully understood what he had just witnessed. He seized Arcartus with a roar, wrapping an arm about his neck and driving his knife towards the grill of his helm. But the custodian was too quick, turning his head so that the blade shrieked from the armoured visor, leaving a finger-width welt in the metal. Balsar drove a foot into the back of Arcartus's wounded knee, forcing him down with all his weight, his opponent unable to bring the spear to bear in time. Pulling harder, Balsar grunted and snarled as he constricted his arm tighter and tighter, twisting Arcartus's head sideways and back. Gauntleted fingers scrabbled at the Raven Guard's faceplate. A thumb jabbed backwards like a dagger, breaking his left lens, missing his eye by a fraction, to bruise against the reinforced bone of his brow. Even so, the momentary weakening of Balsar's grip was enough for the custodian to free himself from the grapple, abandoning his weapon to get two hands on the Raven Guard's arm to throw him over a shoulder. Enraged, Balsar slammed his knife backhanded, slashing the point across the other warrior's gorget. As the momentum spun him around, the Raven Guard propelled himself headlong into his foe, smashing his forehead into the weakened visor. The custodian's helmet split open, falling between them as he staggered back, bloody drool bubbling from his nose and mouth. Lashing the knife towards his opponent's exposed face, Balsar struck again and again, opening up a wound across the custodian's cheek, cutting the top off his right ear. Arcartus backed away, raised hands, fending off the next flurry of attacks as he regained his senses. And it was at that moment that Balsar knew he could not win. He had taken his best shot, and it had not been enough. He could only be victorious now if he tapped into his true abilities. Psychic energy coursed into the librarian. Eyes burning with golden light, he held up his fists, black flames wreathing his gloves. A nimbus of power shone from his psychic hood, bathing the walls and floor with cerulean light. Arcartus stared at him, snatching up his guardian spear from the floor. Balsar would have expected anger, hatred, perhaps even resignation, but he was not prepared for the look he saw in the custodian's eyes. It was disappointment, maybe even pity. And in that gaze he saw again the black eyes of Korax as he had dismissed Balsar, convinced that the psyker was tainted in some way. The words the librarian at his Primarch had uttered came back to him in that moment.
"Very well. You will go to the Sigillite and receive his judgment in person. Your brothers are under ban of their powers again. Any use of them without specific order will be a capital offence. Am I clear?"
"Absolutely, my lord."
A code. His honour. His oath.
Balsar reined in his rage. The flames guttered and died as he sank to his knees, the gleam of psychic power fading from his gaze. Arcartus loomed over him, bloodied but unbowed. He took up the spear in both hands and swung. The blade of the spear crashed against the bulkhead just above Balsar's head, showering him with hot sparks but otherwise leaving him unharmed. The custodian let the weapon drop from his grip. He lifted his hand and spoke into the voxlink built into the vambrace of his right arm. "This is Arcatus, code word disciple. Cease operations immediately and return to quarters." He looked down at the librarian. "Balsar Kothouri of the 19th Legion, will you submit to me to face the judgment of Malkador?" Confused, Balsar looked back and nodded. "I will." The Sigilite waited for them in an austere chamber somewhere in the depths of the Imperial Palace. Balsar had no idea where they were. He had been sedated for much of the journey. With Malkador were two of the Sisters of Silence, clad in ceremonial armour, their faces veiled. Balsar's skin and mind itched in the presence of the anti-psychers, but Malkador seemed unaffected. If anything, the Null Maidens seemed to be keeping their distance from him. Despite their warp-dampening presence, Balsar could feel the power emanating from the First Lord of Terror, so powerful that the warding of the Silent Sisterhood was not enough to contain it. It lapped against the edges of his consciousness, laid bare before them. The Sigilite regarded him impassively for several minutes.
"Balsar Kothouri, now you must forgive me for the severity of the test you have endured. The death of Captain Noritz is most regrettable. Lessons will be learned from this."
Balsar said nothing. His jaw worked silently. Malkador nodded in understanding.
"Again you have my apologies. But the strength of will you have shown under extreme duress, not to mention considerable physical prowess, is one of the qualities I seek. The librarians of the legions were full of powerful psychers, many of them more capable than you in that regard. But it is temperament, loyalty, and a good degree of stubbornness that make the finest warriors. Rest assured, I will send word if I can to Lord Korax. You will not be returning to the Raven Guard, but I have no doubt you will continue to serve with distinction nonetheless."
"Serve who?" Balsar asked. There came a brief surge of psychic power that caused the Sisters of Silence to stiffen, and a door at the far wall slid open to reveal a warrior in Mark VI battleplate. The armour was the unadorned grey of bare ceramite, free of all sigils and livery, and crowned with a finely wrought psychic hood. Wincing at the presence of the Null Maidens, the Space Marine stepped into the room.
"This is Brother Umogen, Balsar," said the Sigilite, turning away. "He will explain everything."
That was The Grey Raven by Gav Thorpe. Read by Jonathan Keeble.